No, you don't owe me nothing.
I asked him on behalf of the committee. I thought everybody
might be
disappointed. What do you think about this?
My guys, yeah.
Did you get one of these from him? Just Bobby did, man.
We got something going.
Yeah, I'm thinking. That's right. I mean, I'm not implying anything, but you can never tell. I didn't get one.
Look at
how. Oh, man.
I didn't get one. Oh. The chairs didn't get one, Bobby. I also got one in an email.
If I could bring the committee back to order, I'd like to, there's couple more things to address on the omnibus bill. One of them is the proposed language for the offshore wind. The offshore wind, particularly in reference to the University of Maine program. Do we all have this language? I don't think we do, do we?
These companies outside talking to them.
All right, let me go to another section here. Representative Tipping Spitz is still in discussion.
I'm
you coming? All right. You've given copies to be distributed. Okay.
Would you like me to go through it, Mr. Chair?
Let's wait a little second here, and then we'll begin it. I think it'll be good to have it in front of us. So, Representative Tipping Spitz, could you go over this language that's being distributed?
Yes, sir. Again, the intent of this is to make sure that the moving forward, should one of the offshore wind projects not go through, we don't want to limit the PUC to only sticking with the first approved term sheet, and we also don't want one being approved already to limit the projects getting the final round of DOE grants. So what this does is says, so the state might consider additional proposals from deep water offshore wind energy in the event that a supplier that is approved for a term sheet or awarded a long-term contract elects not to go forward for any reason, including that it does not receive necessary federal funding or financing, the Commission shall consider other eligible projects that can be funded within the existing funding cap. To do this, the Commission shall conduct a second competitive solicitation for proposals, and additional projects may be approved and contracted contingent on other approved projects not moving forward by a date certain to be set by the Commission. And I just want to stop right there for a second. After talking to the representative from Statoil, it sounds like they might want slightly different language in there, referring to the current term sheet that's set. And I think we can work something out there. I think if we improve this under the current intent, we can work out that for the final amendment review. So continuing from there, the University of Maine's pilot deepwater offshore wind site shall be considered a deep water offshore wind energy pilot project within the meaning of the Ocean Energy Act. There's a citation in law. The Commission must complete its review and vote on term sheet by December 31st, 2013. So that essentially sets up a parallel path for the University of Maine in the event Statoil does not move forward, either from their end or from the PUC's. It allows all the work that the University of Maine has put into this to have a possible path forward. And after having had conversations with members of the committee, I think this is something that we should keep open as an option moving forward. And I think this language, again, I'm open to changes. After having a brief conversation with Mr. Woodcock, we may want to talk more about some of the language here around the commission shall consider all other eligible projects that can be funded within the existing funding cap. We did approve the change from SBC to $1.45 a megawatt, which was necessary because we eliminated some language from the corresponded to the Ocean Energy Act. But I think essentially the intent here is solid, and if we want to work out the details on a further amendment review, I'm okay with that.
Mr. Chair?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. Did you specifically review this with Dan Riley, Attorney Dan Riley, who was here for Statoil?
Yes, sir, and I have language from him to be inserted in that brief section that I talked about. So I don't think, again, that language would change, and I can read that right now if you like. But
sure, why don't you do that?
So instead of saying, the seventh line down in the main paragraph, it would cross out approved projects all the way to the next period. And instead it would say, offshore energy projects with term sheets or contracts previously approved by the commission, electing not to proceed to construction of such previously approved projects within the time requirements or deadlines set forth in the applicable term sheet or contract. So I think that's, and again, I'm definitely not a lawyer, and I don't know if I'd want to get into this type of stuff if I was, but I think that is just more comfortable from where they're sitting, and makes reference to the current term sheet already out there.
The extra language that you discussed, I think, with Mr. Woodcock, is that also discussed with Saddle?
No, it wasn't, and I was kind of cut short on the way to get up here and present this.
Okay.
But if you want, we can dive into that more.
Okay. Why don't we get quick input, maybe from Ms. Gazzetti? Did you want to have input at this point, or?
The only thing that I was unsure of was what the possible amendment might be from the governor's energy office. I understood that what you got from Statoil was kind of a way of measuring what moving forward means, but I didn't quite catch what the what the piece of this was that might be changed.
Perhaps we can ask Mr. Woodcock.
Yes, yeah, Mr. Woodcock.
Thank you. Effectively, and I just received this language, but reviewing it would allow the commission to move forward with a second competitive solicitation to prepare for the event if the Statoil contract, for whatever reason, does not move forward. One concern or suggestion that I have is from the governor's energy office's perspective is we may have learned a lot from the experience in how this authority can be used. One issue is if we were to move forward with a second competitive solicitation, whether we could put there is a total cap on the authority equivalent to what the assistant benefit charge used to be. One suggestion would be to also put a cap on what the per kilowatt hour price of the electricity may be. As you recall, the Statoil term sheet has about a 27-cent per kilowatt hour price, which the governor's energy office has strong concerns about. In addition, do we really want to have the entire authority, if the Statoil contract was voided, do we want to have 90-95% go to one entity? I guess the question is, we would encourage learning from the experience of the last 6 months with the Statoil term sheet and reflecting that in this proposal.
Okay, yeah. The question, Representative Tipping Spitz?
The only thing I would add to that is the intent was to make sure that we're offering a similar deal to UMaine that we decided was a fair deal to Statoil. Whoever the first project to come was.
Here's the situation that I'm this would not be allowed only for Statoil, for the University of Maine. So there could be other competitive solicitations, and as a result, there could be another entity that would request the same terms as Statoil. And I guess we would like to reflect what we may have learned from that experience.
Okay. Representative Dunphy?
May I ask a question to Representative Tipping Spitz?
Yes.
Through the chair?
Yes.
How do you feel about making this ocean energy instead of specifically wind that may be qualified? Sort of expanding the whole renewable energy offshore.
Representative Tipping Spitz?
Well, I think the Act did apply to ocean energy in general, and I think two projects have, and I correct me if I'm wrong, two projects have been negotiated under the Ocean Energy Act. One of them was a tidal project, and one of them was an offshore wind project.
And what are your amendments? What is your
this is speaking specifically, so there was a cap put on this project so that there was a cap put on this project, and I think this would be replacing that particular part that was directed towards offshore wind that we've already, and I think this is speaking towards a project that's already been approved by the PUC, and making sure that the University of Maine proposal that we had the presentation about is in the running.
Yes, Representative Dunphy.
So do you want to limit it to simply this project, and not potential projects moving forward, and not all energy, offshore energy projects? Or do you want to limit it to this and wind?
As the language reads right now, I think it says proposals for deep water offshore wind energy. And since it is referring to being contingent upon an offshore wind energy facility not moving forward, I think it's important we keep apples and apples together and oranges to oranges, although I'm not entirely sure about the answer to that question, and I could get back to you with more.
It makes no difference to me either way. I just, it seems too bad to be so exclusive. So if there are other projects, if there's something moving forward that we may not be aware of, or it just seems too bad to limit it, that's all. You don't need to get back to me.
Yep. I understand Mr. Riley is here representing Statoil. Maybe since you reviewed this, we should see your view of this proposal.
Thank you, Senator. Representative Hobbins, members of the committee. My name is Dan Riley. I'm an attorney with Bernstein Scherer representing Statoil. I appreciate Representative Tipping Spitz working with us on this draft. He gave me a copy earlier this morning, and I have reviewed it and reviewed it with one of my partners who represented Statoil through the negotiations with the PUC. To be honest with you, I just came in. I'm not sure whether you presented. Oh, you did. Great. So I won't go through that. I talked briefly with your analyst about the language not moving forward as not being specific enough, and that's why we have drafted this in such a way that it mirrors the term sheet deadline and reporting requirements to the PUC. So with that, appreciate the ability to review it and the ability to appear before the committee.
Okay.
Answer any questions you might have.
Okay. Questions? Seeing none. Oh, well, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Riley, I suggest maybe that Mr. Woodcock and you could have a conversation because Mr. Woodcock did express some a possible further amendment to the language.
Oh, true, yes, that's true.
So if you could maybe do that.
Thank you.
Offline. Thanks.
Well, yeah. Representative Beavers.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think Representative Dunphy had a good point on expanding this to ocean energy projects. It would make sense to me to be a little less narrow, but I would be interested in knowing how others on the committee felt, or you know how you felt about that.
Well, so, let me
or Gene.
Yeah, well, let me make a couple comments here. It's kind of a policy issue, really, here. I think you note that this says that the PUC has to do it by December 31st, 2013. That's a pretty defined period of time, which is not very far away, so... In essence, there are only, I think, a limited number of folks who might be even ready to be able to go to the PUC. So whether or not you expanded the language, which is not a bad suggestion, the likelihood that there are others that are going to be ready to do that, I think, is minimal. So it probably doesn't affect the outcome. But at least it is open. If someone's there and they're all set to go, they can have an opportunity.
Senator, if I might, I agree with you. The only thing I would add is that obviously one of my other clients is the Renewable Energy Association, and the ORPC title project is the other project that falls under this act. And